17th of October with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Should we have a referendum?
On what?
Biscuits.
Biscuits, yeah, go on. Well, what are the questions?
We've got lots of custard creams, but they're a bit lacking in Garibaldi's.
Have you finished the Garibaldi's? Is that why?
No, there weren't many there. There were lots of custard creams.
Who got to the studio first?
You did.
Who ate all the Garibaldi's? Exactly. Yeah. I left you the custard creams and the chalky biscuits.
Although
I did lick some of the chocolate off the biscuits.
Oh, did you?
Right. Hands up, who wants more Garibaldi's? One.
It's too late.
Two, three.
When are not some in the cupboard?
It's
Have
carried.
A look in the cupboard underneath.
Carried.
Good. Anyway, welcome back to the Business Monk Show. We've got two fabulous guests to talk to you in the second half of the show. We've still got tweets coming in and we've still got some emails to read. You just mentioned that you had a tweet.
Yeah, the workroom are listening. That would be Adam and Neil in the office. And it says, we're listening from our new Sittingbourne office.
Wow.
So
they've moved.
Yeah, well.
Did they tell you?
No. I'm assuming this is an additional office that they've got up and running in Sittingbourne, because we were actually meeting last week in the Canterbury office, which we share.
And were they there?
And they were there.
Well, there you go.
So congratulations, guys, on setting up a new office in Sittingbourne, and I hope you're enjoying the show.
Cool. I've had a tweet from the new appointments group, and they say, Vanilla Whip, huge thanks to the Swale Business Awards for the raffle money that was donated on the night to the Swale Youth Development Fund. And that's from Andrew at New Appointments Group. And Andrew is a trustee of the Swale Youth Development Fund. And there was over £1,000 raised for kids. So that's Andrew Cassells from the New Appointment Group. So thank you for that.
Well done.
Yeah.
We've also had a tweet from Man in a Sumo Suit.
Johnny Cotter.
Yeah, who's saying, hi guys, but also how much he enjoyed the Health Matters radio show yesterday as well.
Oh, cool, yeah.
And of course, Johnny has...
He's been losing mega amounts of weight, yeah, yeah.
I mean, how many stone now?
I think he's 9.5 stone he's lost so far, yeah.
Okay, that's more than me, I've only done 4.
Yeah. So, only 4, yeah.
Incredible.
Athel Bray Limited have been on. And they say, could we have a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker? Any organisation that's looking at organising their 2018 training requirements, if they give us a ring, Keith will be happy to come and meet with you and have a chat and to talk you through all your requirements. You can follow them on the Twitter, Athelbray, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E, L-T-D, Athelbray Limited, on the Twitter. Cool. On Thursday, the 30th of November, at the Ashford International Hotel, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. is the Grow Kent event.
Yes.
It's the Business Growth Accelerator. 5 business growth experts reveal how to unlock accelerated growth for your business without risking your assets, your money, or your lifestyle. Who should attend the event? Owners and directors of small to medium-sized businesses, including startups who are frustrated by their lack of income and profit growth. It includes all-day conference with 6 world-class speakers, workshops, entrepreneur panels, and one-to-one sessions, tea and coffee, business networking breakfast with speaker, includes a buffet breakfast, a conference guide, and over £100 worth of products from our speakers. To find out more, to book your free space, go to growkent.co.uk/Ashford Annual Conference.
I think you should go.
I'm the chairman.
Oh. As if we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Gemma, are you going to be there? Because didn't you exhibit last year?
Yeah, I'm not exhibiting at this one.
Okay.
I think they have a lockout or some kind of...
Oh, it's not really
it's a conference. Yeah,
it's a conference
rather than an exhibition.
Yeah. But I think Linda's going to be exhibiting.
Yeah, Linda's exhibiting this year. But I probably will pop along.
Yeah, I went last year and I found it a really good day, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
For me, it's a kind of a day to invest in your business rather than kind of think about networking. And all the rest of it, it's kind of thinking time.
Good information.
Yeah, it's really good. Mm. Planning for next year. So, and it's really timely. November's as good a time as any to kind of get to grips with that. So,
yeah. And funnily enough, on the same day in the evening, because I'm working a big 18-hour shift that day, it's the Ashford Business Awards at the Ashford International Hotel. You can still enter, and they've been expanded. So now, if you've got a business in Ashford, Romney Marsh, Dymchurch, Hythe, Folkestone, or anywhere in South Kent, you can also enter the Ashford Awards. And that's been done deliberately just for Bird, who moaned that her business in Hythe didn't have anywhere she could enter an award for, so now she can. If you'd like to find out more about the Business Awards, if you go to the website, which is businessawardskent.co.uk, you can find out how to enter, when to enter, why to enter, and all the other awards that are on offer. So do check that out.
We've had a note from Locating Kent. Mm-hmm. 101 reasons Kent makes business sense. So they've launched a new campaign this month. 101 reasons Kent makes business sense. And the idea behind it really is to highlight the what's called the Plus service from Locating Kent, which is all about the free service that they provide in terms of helping businesses find property. It could be tapping into grant funding. I mean, you mentioned Locase from your interview at the Construction Expo last week, which is a good example. And connecting businesses to a network of partners that can actually help their business relocate, possibly, you know, with the minimum of fuss. So they do a lot of very good work, actually, Locating Kent. So if you know of a business that's perhaps thinking of relocating to Kent, I would suggest that the Locating Kent service is probably one of the first ports of call, you know, when they're starting to kind of formulate a plan to do that. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And that will help everybody, obviously. The more businesses we can attract into Kent, the better for everyone. So
cool. Do you know what? It's about time we talk to our guests, don't you think? They've been sitting here patiently waiting for us to talk to them. Yeah. And we're kind of going to, although they do radically different things, we're going to start off talking about a similar kind of theme here, but then we'll branch out into the other things that they do, obviously. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Mr. Ben Leach of BLIT Solutions and the absolutely gorgeous Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Law.
Orchard Employment Law.
Orchard Employment Law. I looked at her waiting for the telling off because I forgot the employment bit.
At least you got your name right this time, Gemma. Yeah. It's not Gemma Fairhay, it's Gemma Fairclough.
No, Gemma Fairhay is a Twitter handle.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's Fairclough Haynes. Yeah. So welcome to both of you to the show. The reason that we're kind of going to start to talk to you both to start with, as Martin made reference earlier, last week was Mental Health Day, last Monday, I think. And the FSB have been talking about a lot about wellbeing in the workplace, and it is a big issue. And both of you have some angles on this. So starting with Ben, Ben is an IT support specialist. We're going to talk about your business in a moment, Ben. Yeah. But I'd like to touch on, if I may, what led you to actually start in your own business?
Well, it's because I've got Asperger's, and being what I've got, it's very hard for employers to understand. And a lot of employers do not understand how to deal with people with autism, Asperger's, or ADHD, any of that sort of disability.
Mm.
So they don't know how to treat staff.
Yeah. It's an interesting syndrome as well, isn't it? Because it's also not something that is immediately apparent either. You know, you can talk to people and not be sure. I remember you telling me a story once about somebody having a go at you about the way that you answered the phone to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were going, oh, you can't answer the phone like that. But that was as a consequence of the Asperger's that you suffer from. So it's interesting and very brave that you started your own business, but you felt the need to do that because of the way that you were treated where you worked before?
Yes, that's right, yes. Mm. And because I think with someone like myself, we like to do our own sort of way of doing it, and we're better at being our own boss and being managed because of our way we are.
Yeah, so you can work out how you work and your work schedule based on what suits you and what you feel comfortable doing.
Yeah.
Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah, that's it.
If you don't mind me asking, when were you diagnosed with Asperger's? Because it's one of those things that some people, you know, some forms of autism aren't really diagnosed at all. Some are over-diagnosed. Some are diagnosed incorrectly. For you, when did you personally become aware of it?
Well, I always knew I was different because I went to a boarding school down in Margate called Laleham. But I didn't get diagnosed to about 2009, 2010.
Right, okay. So a long time, yeah.
Because there was issues at the places I was working, not just the last employer, but the employer before.
Mm.
And I wanted to get diagnosed to find exactly what was wrong with me, because I knew there was something different, because I was different to other people I worked with. So I went to the Maudsley in London and got diagnosed by proper psychologists.
That's massive self-awareness, isn't it, when you think about it, that you yourself thought, I'm different. I mean, we all think we're different, don't we?
Well,
we all think
we're you are.
I'm different. I'm definitely different. I'm definitely different. Yeah,
you're special, Paul. you're just special.
Yeah, I know. But I'm astounded and inspired by that, for someone like Ben to actually not just see himself as a victim. Do you know what I mean? You know, he was treated poorly where he worked. But he didn't just put that down to bad treatment by other people. He wanted to find out what his part in that was as well. And that's incredibly brave thing to do, and an incredibly aware thing to do. So the act of having yourself diagnosed, Ben, did that make you feel better about yourself as a person?
Yes, it made me understand more about me and why I do things the way I do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And to understand how other people perceive me as well. So it was a great understanding. It was 2 years of constant going backwards and forward to London to understand. But then it made me have more great awareness what Asperger's actually is, because I didn't know exactly what it was.
Sure. Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things. If you don't mind, can you just, for those people that don't know what it is, can you just step us through some of the ramifications of Asperger's?
Well, it's a form of autism. And what it does, it affects a person's, like, communication, speech, awareness of people's feelings, awareness of personal space, and other things like that. So it's... It's a multiple things, and people with Asperger's don't show any empathy on that. And I've had that problem with my daughter and my wife. I don't show my daughter enough affection. She knows I love her, but it's hard for me to show it. And that's the way people with Asperger's are.
And it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum of behaviour that people without Asperger's could produce a lot of that kind of behaviour. And then it's when it tips over a point where it becomes debilitating for you as a person. And what I find fascinating is that you become aware of it, and you're aware that you have these issues, and therefore you have to compensate for it in other ways. Yeah. How long have you run your own business now, Ben?
That's my fifth year this May.
Right, okay. And for you, presumably, you're happier at work now than you were when you worked for other people.
Yes, because
And back in the workplace, without having to name names or anything, what was the kind of thing that was causing you distress in the places that you worked before? Or even things that you were finding difficult to deal with?
Well, it's being excluded from social activities, having to work on my own, not having support from other people because they didn't want me to interact with the other people because I was different. And also being put in situations dealing with irate customers and that on my own. And with my condition, it's hard to sort of deal with that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Although it could be easy. You could just ignore them and go, no, I'm not interested in you. Can't care less. Yeah, no, I get that.
Shall we talk about some of the positives, though?
So exactly.
I'll give you an example. So my keyboard on my laptop was knackered. Yeah. I mean,
sit on it, did you?
Well, no, I've got two hammers for fingers.
You were having a rant where you're going,
and I'd just worn it out over
years. Yeah, I can imagine.
And, you know, Ben and I arranged, because we've known each other for years now, we've been networking together for a long time. We arranged to meet after one of our networking meetings, didn't we? And replaced my keyboard. Well,
This is on a laptop.
On a laptop. And I don't think either of us had quite kind of envisaged how complicated a process that was going to be. And I think Ben took out about 33 screws in the end, miniature, tiny little things that I couldn't even see, that had to be removed before he could even get the old keyboard off. But what he was then able to do was put each one of those screws back in exactly the same place that it had kind of originated from.
Yeah.
you know. And I think halfway through that process, I would have just picked the whole lot up and chucked it in the bin, which is kind of what I'm prone to. So, you know, in terms of that kind of, you know, that memory and kind
attention
of recognition
to detail.
And all of that,
yeah.
You know, I think you can do stuff that the rest of us just can't actually do. And it's and that must be quite useful in your job day-to-day.
Yeah, because the way my brain works different to someone who hasn't got Asperger's is that so we've got excellent memory. We can remember exactly where the things go back. And we also have a very good eye to detail as well. So when I'm working on someone's computer, now I concentrate solely on that, nothing else. Make sure that's done properly before anything else is done.
Absolutely.
That's the way the brain works on Asperger's.
It's interesting. Back in January, we held an event at County Hall with a Kent Supported Employment Group, where we had a number of people with a different range of supported employment needs. Some were autistic, some were physically disabled, some are deaf, some were blind. But every single person there was in full-time employment, and every single person, despite their difficulties and their supported needs, all of them had talents that were enhanced because of their supported needs. And that's the fascinating thing when you talk to employers about employing people such as Ben with supported needs, that okay, there's a downside, but there's also an upside, as you just mentioned.
We've just had a tweet from Tracy. I think it's timely that we read this. It says, Ben is so inspirational, an absolute pleasure to know him. Well done on your hashtag #BBunker interview. And I think we'd all say the same.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to come back and talk to Ben some more about what he does and his business. I want to just kind of bring Gemma into the conversation now. Gemma, you're a specialist in employment law, and I know you cover lots of different things, and we were chatting off air before the show about some of Martin's nonsense as well, weren't we? but I want to get your views on well-being and health issues in the workplace. As an employer, especially small business employers, it can be scary, people with supported issues.
Yeah, it absolutely is scary. I mean, I think one of the things that employers need to realise is that having things like Asperger's, dyslexia, they are disabilities. And when someone says, oh, they've got a disability, for some employers it can be quite scary because they think, oh my goodness, discrimination. With disability discrimination, it's like no other discrimination. It's not like race, gender, age, sexual orientation. It's the only discrimination where you are required to do something as opposed to not to do something. And that's the bit that people don't get.
Yeah.
So they say, well, I didn't treat him badly. And I said, no, but you treated him the same. And in treating him the same or her the same,
you treated them badly.
So we have this thing in law because they like to give us complicated terms rather than just tell you what to do, which is you're required to make reasonable adjustments. And people say, well, what's that?
Exactly.
What's a reasonable adjustment? And essentially, it's putting somebody on the same footing they would be if they didn't have that that disability. So, for instance, in the case of Ben or somebody with Asperger's, it might be giving them the same thing to do every day, because people with Asperger's and autism tend to work really well as off processes. Am I right, Ben?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But you coming in every day and saying, oh, actually, I'm changing what we're doing at the drop of a hat isn't going to work for that particular person.
Absolutely.
So whilst it's scary, it's actually quite easy to manage.
And it's also useful.
And useful to manage.
It's useful because so many things are process-driven now. Yeah. And so many things, you hear so many employers go, it was written down, it was a simple process, and they couldn't follow it.
Nobody else follows it.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody with autism will follow it to the letter.
Exactly.
But then you need to make sure that whatever you've got written down actually makes sense. Yeah. Because if there's a link missing, and you go, well, why did you do that? And it's because it's written down, or because you didn't write that bit down.
Exactly.
So,
Just looking at the other side of the coin, though, you can understand from a small employer's point of view why they're scared of this kind of thing. Because, as you said quite rightly, they're beaten up about treating everybody the same until they don't have to treat you the same, they have to treat you differently. But there is a way around that. And the way around that is there is a group at Kent County Council called the Kent Supported Employment Group, and they will help any employer that wishes to employ someone that has supported needs, but with autism, Asperger's, or any other supported need, physical disability, any form of mental illness, any form of dementia, any form of things like deafness or blindness or impairment in either of those. There is a group that will handle that and will help employers through employing people in those conditions. And from my point of view, the thing that opened my eyes to this was to see the talent that was available with these kind of conditions. Yeah. And in the world of work today where we have massive skill shortages, to ignore that talent because there are some difficulties associated with it is not sensible any longer, because there is help and support available. From your point of view, Gemma, what do you see as the processes for handling employees with these kinds of issues?
I think it's firstly being aware. So like Ben says, he worked for employers and he didn't have a diagnosis.
Yeah.
You know, Ben didn't know that he had Asperger's,
yeah,
and employers then probably would not have known. But actually, what the law says is if it is obvious, even if the employee doesn't come to you and say, I've got this, it's for you as the employer to say, look, we've noticed X, Y, Z. Do you think that maybe you have, or you could do with some help?
Many years ago, many years ago, like nearly 25 years ago, I had an employee that I was very unhappy with in terms of I felt that they had some mental issues. They were not aware of them. I tried to put in place the opportunity to go and have an assessment with a psychiatrist, but of course I couldn't make them go. So from an employer's point of view, what do we do in those circumstances? Because it's hard,
because
isn't it?
You can't make them go. And I've even had cases where someone says they're not disabled and then sued for disability discrimination, which always makes me chuckle.
Yeah.
But as an employer, all you're expected to do is what's reasonable. So if the employee doesn't want to hear that they might have a condition, or they don't want to visit occupational health, or actually if your business cannot cope with the needs of that particular person, then you're not required to keep them.
Okay.
So all you have to do is what is reasonable, and that's to try.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is once people realise all they've got to do is to try.
Yeah.
And to, you know, there's so much help. I mean, I know you mentioned Kent Supported Employment, and they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Because they'll even come in and sit with the person for 6 weeks or however long it takes and teach them the job so you don't have to in the way they need to be taught. But there's also lots of different charities.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, like with bipolar, if you contact that charity, they will come in and they'll do a day, they'll sit with you, and it's all free training.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse to actually go and get some help as an employer.
Cool. Let's kind of move on and talk about, because both of you are involved in different things and doing lots of different things, and we want to cover all that. But I want to come back and talk to Ben now about his actual business, BLIT Solutions. So tell us a little bit about your business. You 5 years now you've been doing this, Ben. You fixed his laptop eventually, and he's probably broken a few more since then, no, Martin?
Yeah.
So tell us what you do, where you're based, and how you do it.
Well, I'm based in Gillingham in the Medway Towns. And we cover both domestic and small business. There's not many IT companies like me who cover both sides, but I see that there's a benefit in both sides. Because people like the personal service now. In the past, you used to have the computer shops and people used to bring their computers into the shop.
Yeah.
But people more want this personal service where you come to them and do it there and then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the kind of thing I offer people.
It's a huge benefit. We all now have computers everywhere. If you come into my house, not my offices, my house, in my study, I have 4 computers. Get me. So you're right. People want a personal service. When something goes wrong, we want someone to come and fix it or to help us or to put us straight in terms of what we're doing. What kind of things do you cover?
Well, we cover all the usual stuff like the brake fix. And also, we're now moving into partnership with a cloud company as well as hosting companies as well.
Okay.
So we started off solely as a hardware repair, but now we're moving into the software and the cloud.
Right.
So we're evolving. So.
Ben is also our resident authority on all things to do with cybercrime.
Okay.
Spyware, you know, any kind of malware, basically. I mean, all of that kind of stuff.
I've got Macs. I've got a PC, but I've also got Macs. And there's this big thing that, you know, Macs don't get as infected. I got some malware the other day. Oh, my God. It took me nearly 22 hours to remove that. Every time I downloaded a removal tool that just added more malware when I used the removal tool. It was ridiculous.
Well, you should have rung Ben.
I should have done,
and
yeah.
Ben, what Ben can do is remote access your machine. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't even need to come to your house, mm-hmm. which has got your dirty socks all over the place and shoes.
You've been, have you?
I have.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do any of that. He can just do it from his house.
Yeah. Absolutely. We were also talking, Ben, there was a report come out this week, I think, about vulnerabilities in Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi routers.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you had a chance to look into what they're complaining about?
Yeah, so two of people not having strong enough encryptions on their routers.
Mm.
And their Wi-Fi keys containing like pet names, family names, and not having enough encryption in there.
Yeah.
The longer the encryption, the better chance you have of it being protected.
Sure. I mean, you still get a lot of people with Wi-Fi routers that don't have any passwords at all.
Yeah,
you know, they just or they put it in with whatever the manufacturer put in. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there's so much Wi-Fi now, you can basically not move. I walk out into the street with my phone, and it immediately picks up 20. Kind of Wi-Fi things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to have antivirus software or firewalls put on. Because if you go into a public one, even with your phone, if your phone is not protected, you could still get a virus on a public Wi-Fi. Yep. So having security on your phone is important now.
Mm.
Ben wrote us a brilliant blog a couple of weeks ago all about the dangers of downloading free software on the internet.
Sure.
And I have to say, despite that, I downloaded a program last week which enabled me to convert video files to MP4.
That was the one that did me as well. Yeah. Yeah.
But luckily, I got away with it. But I must say, I was so paranoid about doing it. I promptly uninstalled it, actually, having installed it.
Well, I ended up with a product called MacKeeper installed on my Mac, and it was evil. Even when I uninstalled it, it didn't uninstall. It took me ages to clean it off, and I had to do it all manually and remove every single file manually.
Because
invariably,
you know, the chances are you're going to download some kind of malware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As part of that. And you were giving the example, Ben, of an advertising-based kind of malware program that would actually take over your desktop, and really, all it's a mirror image of your desktop, but it's actually just feeding you advertising, and you think, you know, where's all this stuff coming from? And it's taken over your computer.
Absolutely, so horrible stuff.
Scary.
Yeah.
So Ben, you support small businesses, you support domestic users, home users. Is that in the Medway area, or do you cover Kent, or what kind of region do you cover?
Well, I cover all of Medway, Maidstone, Gravesend, Ashford and Faversham. So mostly the mid-Kent to East-Kent areas.
The big block in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. If people want to find out more about your service and or want to find out what you do, what's your website, Facebook and Twitter?
Well, my website is www.bl-it-solutions.co.uk. My Facebook, Twitter handle is BLIT Solutions.
Fantastic.
At the end.
Cool. And Ben's website is on the Kent Business Radio website, and so you can find the link there.
Ben is a great example of someone who hardly ever used to use Twitter and now actually is completely converted, aren't you, to the benefits of just being active as a business owner on Twitter. So,
absolutely.
You know, fantastic.
And as well as being brilliant at what he does in terms of supporting IT, he's also inspirational, in fact, from the point of view that he recognised his own disabilities, had them self-diagnosed, and then did something about it. And that is just absolutely awesome.
Because I'm in the process of writing a book at the moment.
Are you? Okay. About your experiences.
About Asperger's. And there's a lady called Karen I met through Roland Stanley, who I'm going to start going to colleges and talking to other people.
Yeah,
about you can be successful even having Asperger's.
Absolutely, and I think that's a brilliant thing to do because it is inspirational for other people.
And I think, you know, what employers need to do, as Gemma was saying, is wake up to the fact that actually there are certain aspects of their business that are much more suited to people that have a particular condition that that they manage on a personal level. In terms of their suitability for carrying out those tasks. So, you know, why not embrace it rather than kind of view it as a negative?
Yeah, I mean, people are probably familiar with Rain Man and that kind of severe savant autism, which is actually quite rare, but there are shades of that, you know. As we've already identified with Ben, part of his Asperger's actually causes him to have talents that we don't, because our minds wander all over the place and his doesn't. It stays focused on the task. And there's a lot to be said for that, because one of the things that those of us that don't have that syndrome suffer from is a lack of concentration with things. And I'm really pleased that you're writing a book, Ben, and I totally agree that to go and speak about your experiences is inspirational, and it's the kind of story that we want to hear. Yeah. And talking about speaking, we're going to move to Gemma now, who's never shuts up.
No.
You're going to be speaking at the Networkers Networking event.
I am speaking at the Networkers Networking event about do's and don'ts of networking.
Cool. And that's on the 2nd of November at the Kenwood Trust in Yalding. Yeah. So you're going to be talking about the do's and don'ts of networking.
I am, yeah.
Cool. And we're looking forward to that.
So that should be...
What have we been doing wrong, Gemma, all these years?
If you want to come, you have to. If you want to know, you have. There'll be no.
Oh, come on.
No, don't tell him. He was saying to me earlier, I don't think I'm going to go to that. Well, so you're not going to find out.
Give us a taste.
No, don't tell him. Don't tell him. You've got to come. Yeah.
But I did speak at one before, the very first Networkers Networking one, and really enjoyed that. Mm. You were at that one, weren't you, Martin?
Yeah, absolutely. And you speak on a range of topics as well.
I do. I speak on lots of different topics surrounding HR and employment law. I'm speaking tonight at Santander in Chatham.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I am, yeah. They let me in. I think they lock the door once you go in as well, so there'll be no escaping.
So what's the event at Santander, the bank, obviously?
It's called Business Breakthrough, so it's a free networking event. Mm. It is invite only, so if anyone wants to come, they can send me a message and I'll get them on the guest list. Mm. I feel a bit important that I've actually got a guest list.
It's like going to a nightclub, like, isn't it? Are you on the guest list?
Yeah. And the red carpet and everything.
They'll have nibbles and a few drinks, and I'm speaking. They've got one other speaker, and they're doing quite a few of them, I think about once a quarter. I've been to a couple before and they've been quite good.
You're kind of developing your business as well. I mean, as well as being an employment law consultant, which is your main business, you are kind of looking for speaking opportunities.
I'm looking for speaking opportunities. Last month I spoke at the Female Speaking Academy in London. That was again fantastic.
Right, okay.
I'm doing an FSB one in December. So any speaking opportunities, then do contact me about business, about employment law, about women in business. Definitely, yeah.
Networking.
Cool. Yeah, be good.
And if you can persuade her to sing as well,
because
she's got the voice of an angel. This lady,
I did do that once, didn't I? Last year, at Christmas.
So yeah, I've got a lot to answer for, Martin.
Hopefully, you'll do that again.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to talk about, what I'd like you to talk about now, if we can, is the kind of the role of technology in business today, and how that affects employers and crucially employees, because I think the last time we spoke to you, we weren't sure. There was this big grey area about, am I an employee or am I self-employed? And, you know, we've got the likes of Deliveroo, for example, Uber. I mean, there's more and more case studies now. Yeah. But, you know, where does the law stand currently with organisations like Deliveroo, for example, whose employees, and I'm using that word kind of loosely at the moment, wake up in the morning, switch their phone on, log into an app to find out if they've got any work or not.
Mm-hmm.
So where does the law stand on that at the moment?
Do you know what? It actually hasn't changed. I think the difficulty is with the government is they have, and we were talking earlier, so much legislation and some of it just doesn't go together. It's not very...
You've got IR35, which is a mess. Exactly. It's just a complete mess.
So people say to me, my accountant says they're not an employee. And I go, okay. Well, they might not be for tax purposes, but for employment law purposes, that's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
briefly, there are some things which you need to look at. So there are actually three statuses when it comes to being employed or employment status. The self-employed, which is you do what you want, like Ben. There is employed, where you're under control. So your employer tells you when to work, how to work, when to, you know, they pay you a salary. And then there's this blurry thing in the middle called worker status. So this is what a lot of the people, so for instance, the Uber drivers, although Uber have got no license at the moment, so we haven't got to worry about them for a second.
But I think they're still able to operate.
Only when it goes through the courts.
Under appeal.
Yeah, they're going through appeal.
Yeah, so we've got Uber, we've got Deliveroo, we've got Addison Lee, lots of cleaners. More recently, foster carers have brought a case to say, actually, we don't think we're self-employed either. And if you think about the impact of that, because foster carers, I mean, my mum fostered, she's a social worker, but we also fostered when I was younger. And you are on call 24/7. This isn't something that you do eight hours a day, 24/7, you know, for the whole year. And what it says is, actually, if you can't send somebody else to do the job, you might be a worker. So like with the Pimlico Plumbers case, when I ring British Gas and say my boiler doesn't work, and they say, well, we'll send in Lee, if Dave turns up, I haven't really got a leg to stand on because I'm employing that company. However, if someone is a worker, if I say I want Lee and Lee can't send Dave, then they might be a worker. So it's about that degree of control. So it's not just about how you pay them. It's not just the fact that they pay their tax. Construction's a big thing as well. I did the construction expo last week, which was fantastic. And a lot of the construction company go, oh, we've got a CIS card. Yep. And I go, okay. Having a CIS card alone does not make somebody self-employed.
Does he have to turn up at 8 o'clock and work till 5?
Exactly. Can they send somebody else? Do you expect them to do it in a certain way? So with the Uber, for instance, they said, well, once you log onto that app, you've got to take instructions. You've got to fulfil the job and then you get paid. And it does have consequences because they need to be paid minimum wage. They actually get paid holiday pay, which is a big thing. So people on 0 hours contracts, people who do gigs, it's called the gig economy, are entitled to holiday pay. They're entitled to lots of things that self-employed people aren't.
So is it fair to say then that the kind of, we've almost had a kind of a, it's being flipped on its head with regard to you know, these types of businesses that perhaps thought they weren't employing people, but in actual fact,
but there's a bigger problem, and this is where the government have got it completely wrong. There are a certain number of people that want to be self-employed that the government designate as not being self-employed. So you get loads of independent contractors that wish to be independent contractors that are now being told they're employees and they don't want to be employees.
Well, foster carers might be a good example.
Foster carers, social workers. So, and I can speak because obviously being brought up around the industry, is they earn a fair amount of money because they can offset their tax. The moment you start saying they're workers and they've got to go through a PAYE scheme, all of a sudden they're...
It becomes non-effective.
Yeah, it's not even worth it anymore.
Yeah.
So it is a big thing. But what I would say with the 0 hour contracts and with the gig economy is there are people that want to work like that. So everyone, the press says, oh, the big bad employer. There are people, I've experienced it with my clients, who don't want to be told I have to work 8 till 4 Monday to Thursday. They want to be able to say, actually, I'm not working today.
So should they be able to opt out?
Well, one of the things
is that the future.
Yeah, one of the things that a lot of people have said, and this came from the IT industry, actually, because in IT, there's an awful lot of contract workers, and a lot of them have what are called personal service limited company companies. A lot of individual people that work as IT consultants earn a lot of money. You know, £50 an hour is not unusual. And therefore, they wanted the protection of having a company limited by guarantee. And therefore, they started paying themselves dividends as a way of earning their money. The government don't like that because they think you are not paying employers' national insurance on your earnings. You pay tax, but you don't pay the same level. So what the industry that supports those kind of people has suggested, why don't we have a different category of company, which is a personal service limited company, in which you have a different tier of national insurance. Therefore, the government get paid what they want to get paid, but you can work in the way that you want to work. So you're not an employee, you are self-employed. It's not rocket science, you just have to think it through. I agree totally with Gemma. You know, there's two sides to this.
Yeah.
There are people that don't like the way that they're treated, you know, like, so Deliveroo riders and Uber drivers that want to be employees, but there are equally as many people that don't want to be employees.
Yeah. Yeah. And those that want to be, they want to be workers. It's easy to say employees, but they are workers. They want to be workers because they want to benefit from things like holiday pay, which is, you know, getting paid whilst you're not working. Mm-hmm. Can I have a bit of a rant about holiday pay?
Go for it.
Sick pay is another thing, but with holiday pay in particular.
Sorry. Be careful with sick pay though, because sick pay is two thirds of sod all basically.
I thought they were getting rid of statutory sick pay. Yeah. I thought that was on its way out.
£85 a week and change.
Well, that's statutory.
Yeah. It's not what people think it is. Top it up. You know, if my
pay your salary.
If my employees are sick, I pay them their salary.
Yeah, exactly.
But legally, I don't have to.
No.
Well,
yeah, maybe. Yeah.
No, you don't have to. No. You really don't have to. Be careful with paying sick pay because it's seen as extra holiday.
But sorry, you were going to have a rant.
We'll take that off air, shall we?
No.
I was going to have a rant about the way in which holiday pay is being paid to a lot of workers, so a lot of people on 0-hour contracts, because employers realise, hang on a second, they're entitled to holiday pay. So what they started to do was include it in their hourly salary. So instead of paying them £10, they'd pay them £12.70 and say, well, that £2.70 is your holiday. But that's actually wrong to do that, because the point of holiday is for you to have rest. Mm. And what will happen is, if you're going to have a week where you don't get paid, or a couple of days where you don't get paid your full salaries, you just won't take holiday. Mm. You'll burn out, which is, you know, what self-employed people do.
Yep.
because we don't get holiday. So it's really important to set that money aside and then to pay it when the person needs the rest, not to pay it as part of their wages.
Yep, absolutely. It's the whole field to me has become incredibly over complex in terms of, for small businesses, again, employing people, they're scared. They're scared of it because there are just so many different ways you can fall foul of this.
Well, now you've got auto enrollment just to kind of.
You've got all of that added on top of it.
Yeah, but
even the concept of minimum wage and living wage is really difficult to work out, because my understanding, Gemma, and you can kind of put me is, you know, we talk about a minimum wage, which is whatever it is, £7.20 an hour, whatever it is at the moment, which changes every October. But I've heard of cases where people have been paid more than £7.20 an hour, but have still fallen foul of the minimum wage rules, because over a period of time, it dissipates and becomes less, if you see what I mean. You know, so if you work...
Well, there's two things, aren't there? There's the minimum wage, and then there's the national living wage.
Yeah, but leave that aside. If you just stick to the minimum wage, it isn't just an hourly rate. It depends on how many hours you work.
But it's age related isn't it?
Yeah.
So the minimum wage, or what they call the national living wage, is at the moment £7.50 if you're over 25 or over.
Right.
But you've got to look at the thing on a whole. So for instance, if we go to the care industry, what they do is they say, well, if you're working a waking night, so if you're just sleeping at somebody's house and you're not really required to do much, we'll pay you a little bit less. But during the day where you're lifting and you're doing more arduous tasks, we'll pay you a bit more. Now, if that evens out to be that they're getting at least £7.50 an hour for the period, then that's fine. Unless somebody does 3 weeks of lates in a month and 1 week of days, in which case they're not being paid the minimum wage because it doesn't even out.
Yeah.
So my advice to everybody is just to pay at least the minimum wage per hour.
Yeah.
You know, not to say we're going to give you less because you're doing less at night, but you'll get more in the day, because it's just far more complicated to work out.
Yeah. So basically, what you should do is pay the going rate for the job at the minimum rate per hour.
Yeah.
And stop trying to game the system by messing it around. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what they do. They say, well, you're sleeping.
Yeah.
So you'll get £4 an hour while you're sleeping, but you'll get £10 an hour in the day. And that just doesn't work when you look at it within a pay period, because that's what they look at, is what you're being paid.
Yeah, because it isn't done on an hour, is it?
No,
it's done on a monthly pay period.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where most people fall foul of it.
Not even necessarily monthly. It is what is your pay period. So if you pay weekly, it's that pay period. Yeah. And if you pay,
Do you know the message I'm getting here?
What's
that? In the same way that I would never have attempted to dismantle my keyboard, because I'd have ended up buying a new computer.
Mm.
As an employer, I would never attempt to manage my own way through
you can't.
Employment law.
You can't.
Because it's just...
You can't.
It's just far too complicated.
It is too complicated. Yeah.
So let's talk Turkey.
Yeah.
Gemma, how much? How do you charge?
How do I charge? Yeah. I charge in a number of different ways, not like the carers that are charging less at night.
What's your hourly rate?
my hourly rate is £125 an hour, but I do run packages. So some people want to come and ask me, you know, a couple of questions here and then, or whenever problems happen. Mm. And then I have some clients that pay me a small retained fee to just call me whenever they need me.
Right.
So, you know, that varies depending on their needs.
So if you're coming into a business, because I would imagine there's an awful lot of businesses out there that need you to come in and sit down with you for a couple of hours at least.
£250. You can learn a lot.
This is how we do it. Are we doing it right or wrong?
Absolutely.
So £250 versus an employment tribunal when you mismanage an employee. So, yeah. Paul, did you get that?
I did indeed. Yes.
I hope you've taken note.
Absolutely. I do use a service similar to Gemma's.
But I bet it's an outsourced service, isn't it?
Sorry?
I bet it's a remote outsourced service.
I use an outsourced service, yeah.
You see, the beauty of someone like Gemma is she'll come into a business and actually sit down with the business owner, whereas I've worked in businesses in the past where we've thought, oh, we'll go and, you know, we'll pay an external company that will never come to visit us, but really all they're doing is giving us access to some templates and a voice at the end of the phone, and think we've kind of got it covered off.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I think if you're taking advice, then that's great. As long as when people say, "Well, I use X," I say, "Well, that's great. It's good for you to have a service." What I would say, sometimes it's nice to have a bit of face to face, and sometimes it's nice to speak to the same person throughout. Because if you're having an ongoing problem, it's nice to. I kind of know my client's staff almost as well as they do when they ring up and say, "Oh, it's Bob," I go, "Oh."
Let's talk about that, because you come from that background. Let's not name names because we don't need to. But, you know, what were the kind of pitfalls of working in an organisation like that versus what you're able to do now?
So just as I said, it's not having the same consistent advice, not having all of the information at present. So, you know, that caused holes.
Gemma, we could talk about this forever, and Martin's absolutely right. Sadly, we're running out of time. If people want to find out more about what you do, Gemma, both, you know, your employment law stuff, your speaking and everything else, how can they do that?
Oh, they can visit my website, which is www.orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk, or get me on the Twitter, which is at Gemma with a J, Fairhay, F-A-I-R-H-A-Y, and that's it.
Fantastic. Gemma, thank you so much for that. We're looking forward to hearing you speak at the Networkers Networking event.
And Bunker Extra on Friday.
And you're on Bunker Extra as a co-host on Friday.
And Santander tonight.
She's on a specially invited guest only.
Can you go on the Jeremy Vine show? Because they need an injection of something.
Yeah, exactly. Gemma, thank you so much for that. Ben, thank you so much. Ben Leach, BLIT Solutions, thank you so much, both of you. Sorry to rush you. We're almost out of time. We've run out of time on the show. Coming up later on Channel Radio at 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Bonet with the Kent Creative Live show. And she has equine photographer Lottie Simmons and the team at the Folkestone Museum are on today's show at 4 p.m. Then at 5 p.m., we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with 2 hours of celebrity interviews and music. At 7 o'clock, Mr. Joey Whaler with a rockabilly show. At 9 o'clock, we have I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet with hits from the 1960s. And then, as always, on Channel Radio, we finish off.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So we finish off, as always, with the wonderful Club Culture show with Mr. Boy George. Sadly, we've run out of time. If we didn't get time to read out your tweet, I do apologise. We'll read it out next week. We'll be back with another show next Tuesday on the Business Bunker show. But for the moment, from myself and marvellous Martin White and our two guests, Ben Leach and Gemma Faircuff-Haynes, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.